lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me.
Thank you, Jesus. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. You can be seated. Isn't it good to honor God's word? Isn't it good to hear it? Isn't it good to say it? Yeah, that's for me. Yes, absolutely. So, Psalm 23 is written by who? David. Okay. And David is a shepherd. Later on, he becomes a king, but he is writing this because he's got some firsthand experience. He does, all right? So he has experience about being a shepherd. So this is going to talk to us about what a shepherd does, all right? So today, open up your, or keep your Bibles open. We're going to dig into verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. And this is the main idea that I want you to get and understand so clearly is that you can, I want you to know this, but you can have the great shepherd, his presence in the midst of your life when everything's blowing up. Anybody have a day where it just blew up all over the place? Maybe you were the one that was blowing up all over the place, all right? So again, you can have the presence of the great shepherd in the midst of, what was the expression? All hell broke loose. Pastor D, you have to say that short, it's in the Bible, okay? All right? So that's what I want you to understand and know when you leave here today, all right? So Psalm 23, praise the Lord. And you know, okay, don't get ahead of myself. So psychologists have done studies. They do studies on everything. They'll do a study on your toenails and give them an opportunity. But here's a good one that they did. They did a study about kids. Kids that have had, let's just say, the worst day ever. Okay, whether it was the worst day at school or the worst day, whatever. They've had, kids had the worst day, whatever. And then if a parent or a loved one comes to them after this happens, they bring a calming and a peace. Ever parent? Anybody ever do that for a kid, right? So if a parent or a loved one could come into their life after they've had the worst day ever, the studies have shown that they would bring peace and a calm. That's kind of cool. So that's what happens in the natural, right? That's what happens in the natural. And that they bring that. Now, what would happen? Do you think that the great shepherd could come into your life in the midst of the worst thing ever? Do you think he could bring peace into your life? Do you think he could bring a calm into your life? How many of you have had that happen, right? So is it possible, whatever situation you're going on, that he would say, hey, I am the great shepherd, and I am going to come in the midst of the drama and the blow up and all that's going on, and I am going to bring peace into your life and comfort from your life. Amen. So, how many of you believe that God can do that? Amen. How many of you know God's already done that in your life a few times? All right. So, let's read Psalm 23, verse 4 again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. All right. Some people feel like they're already there in that valley of shadow of death, all right? Not me, but anyway. So then it goes on and says, I will fear no evil. Guys, we have an opportunity right now, especially in all that's going on in our world and maybe even in your life, to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and I am not going to get into fear no matter what's going on. Isn't that wonderful? You have that opportunity. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Everybody just know, God, you're with me. God, you are with me. Your presence is with me, all right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, I want to talk about this idea of how the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and his presence can be in the middle of anything that you're going on, okay? That he can bring peace and comfort. That's what we're going to get into today. Now, I have to lay a foundation before I take off down the next road here. So, go like this. We live in two realms. Okay, put your fingers down. We live in two realms. Believers, Christians, if you're Christian, you live in two realms, whether you know it or not. We live in two realms, all right? And so we live in the natural. This is the natural, all right? Picture yourself. This is natural. This is the natural realm. And there's another realm. It's called the spirit realm, the supernatural realm, all right? So we live in two realms, all right? Now, I can say it like this. We live in this natural realm, right? And we can go to this spirit realm, supernatural realm, anytime you want it. Anytime you choose to. Anytime you go to, all right? Even though I'd like to throw you over there, okay? But it's anytime you choose. Yes, that's right. Okay? It's up to you to live either in the natural realm or the spirit realm, okay? Let me give you an example. Let's just say if you you are watching the news 24/7, maybe it's this way, whatever, you just are continually watching the news, what's going on in the world. If that's what you're feeding on 24/7, okay, and you're getting into fear 24/7, you will get there, by the way, okay? If you do that, you are going to live in the natural realm only. It will consume you because this is all that you're doing, all right? So you can... can live in the natural realm. Okay. After last week, this is dangerous, okay? Not really nice. So you can live in the natural realm, or you can choose to step up into the spirit realm, the supernatural realm. You can choose, all right? So we do live like this. So there's a whole bunch of things I do in the natural, okay? But then there's things that happen in my life, and I can choose. And this is the place that God wants us to live out of. Because when you live out of this place, you see things differently. Yes. But you're living down here and you're listening to this and this and this and this. Man, that world is just going to make you talk certain ways and act certain ways. Okay? You're just going to be hating people. Well, they're the opposite political party that I'm on. I just hate them. Okay, well, you're living in the natural, all right? And God really could care less about that side or that side or this side, okay? But when you step up into this realm, I am going to hang on to that. But when you step up, even if you were here last week, but when you step up into this realm, you will see people. You will see people the way God's, you will see in the spirit realm the way God sees people. God loves people. And it doesn't matter if they're this or that. So where do you want to live? Okay, I'm moving this. Alright, praise God. So you as a believer have opportunities all day long to choose. Am I going to live in this natural realm and with everything that the world is just programming, saying, and doing all the right, okay, and I'm going to see it that way. Or, and by the way, the world is just hate. I hate that person. I hate what they're doing. And did you see what that? I hate that. I'm canceling you. That's what this is going on in the world, okay? So, quick question. Would you like it if God canceled you? No. Right, okay? You know? And listen. Like you said, I am canceling you. I am three strikes, you're out. I saw what you did yesterday. I saw what you did today. I saw you walking into church and what you're doing. Okay? Cancel! Can you imagine the Lord? Listen, the Lord God who sees all, who's been watching your life from before you were born till now, and seeing your good, bad, ugly, 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 he has never canceled you. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Sure. Man, I'm glad. I am tickled. He's not going to cancel you, right? So, I'm canceling them, you know, but I don't like what they said. That one thing that they said, I'm just canceling them. Listen, God doesn't cancel. So glad. Okay, that was free. Doesn't have anything to do with our message. It's good stuff. Take notes. Verse 4 again. Let me read that again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. Okay, so again, what do you think it looks like if the great shepherd and his presence is with you? What do you think it's going to look like? What do you think he wants to do? Glad you asked. Write this down. Number one, okay, in that verse, listen, the great shepherd. The presence of the great shepherd, your great shepherd, okay? He wants to give you security. He wants to give you security, okay? In the world we're living in, the crisis over here and the crisis over that, and the crisis, you know, I think I need some security, right? Maybe you checked your account. Maybe you, okay, yeah, I believe in that I have security in him. He wants to give us security. He wants to give us security, okay? So, you know, in the beginning it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, I am so glad that the valley and the situation that's going on in my life, the situation that's happening over here, that exploded at my house, or the situation that's going on at work that just is like, whoa, I am so glad that it's temporary. Everybody say temporary.
Temporary.
Y'all should be smiling. Come on, okay? It should be temporary. Listen, the situation, the valley, according to the Lord, is temporary, right? But God's presence and his promises, guess what? They're everlasting, eternal, right? Praise the Lord. So, whatever you're going through, tell your whoever's sitting there, this is temporary. Right. Okay. Now, sometimes somebody else, not me, but when you're going through stuff and you're going through really hard times and you're going through hurtful things, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like a forever, right? How many? Four kids and diapers. I thought it would be forever. And then, this is a particular person, not this one.
I only eat mac and cheese and nuggies.
I thought that was going to be forever. Are you okay? They're 30. They eat lots more things. All right. Shoot. Oh, I am driving this teenager all over Tri-County. Dear Lord, is this forever? All right. Okay. But in serious sense, maybe you're dealing with a health issue, and it feels long. Maybe you're dealing with something at work, and it is. All right? So I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell about somebody else. But I have a dear friend, and this was about her husband. This happened about 10 years ago. He was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue. I was like, what's that? You ever hear that? I didn't know what it was. And, you know, they lived a couple of states away, so I didn't really see this. But the adrenal stuff will just kind of shut you down when it's not good. It just kind of shuts you down. And, by the way, golden nugget. This is a body that I have for however long. Okay, I'm going to live long and strong. This is my natural body. But if you and I do not take care of this natural body, we do not get enough rest. We do not put things in there that we ought to, okay? If you do not take care of you, it, this natural body that you have, okay, it'll shut down on you. It'll go, sorry. Okay, so by the way, we're going to take care of this. Okay, that has nothing to do with my message. Just one of those things. I'm just going to throw in there in today. Praise the Lord. So my friend Joe, every single day with this adrenal failure, and he was diagnosed, and the doctors and stuff, he said it felt like it was the longest day ever on the planet. Right? And so I was like, so I called my friend, she told me that. I said, well, what does it mean? And she said, this is what she said, her husband said. It's the adrenal glands kind of work on the pain in your life. And when they're doing good, you're not feeling pain. But when those things, that adrenal glands, are whacked out and abused because of stress and whatever, there's just shooting pain going through you. Just shooting pain. And he said, I felt like there was pain on the inside of me. It just was horrible. I was like, I had a paper cut the other day and it brought me to my knees. But can you imagine that? every day. Every day, he said, I just felt like it was the longest day ever. He said, I get up in the morning, and I couldn't. And then I just make myself, and I try to walk across the room, and I feel like I could collapse, right? And this is a believer, and he says, I try to read my Bible, and I couldn't even concentrate. It was just horrible. And he said, I felt this miserable, horrible thing just was never going to leave. It was just there, right? So, longest day, longest day, longest day. Anybody ever have a longest day season? Anybody in one of those? Oh, just feels like it's not going to end. So this is what you should write down. Everything that you're going through, guess what, is subject to change.
Amen.
Anything that you're going through, anything that's hitting you this way, whatever, is subject to change. Woo! Praise the Lord. So the storm or the valley or the drama or the work, guess what? It's not like this one. I stole this from somebody. It has an expiration date on it. Subject to change. I was going through my refrigerator and I read something. Whoa! Alright, expiration date. Alright, expiration date, temporary. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. This is a good one. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. The person that is writing this is the great Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul's life was not a bowl full of cherries. It was, I've received Jesus, everything's great. Listen, this man who was a called teacher, preacher, apostle, he got hit with a lot of valleys. His closest ministry friends ditched him. The church, you know, the Jewish people ditched him. He was a night in the day shipwrecked in the ocean. Some of you just stand at the edge of the ocean and go, I'm not there going there because there might be sharks out there. I used to think that. So, but he was shipwrecked for a night and a day in the ocean, and then he's beaten with rods. We'll talk about that later. 3 times and whipped and stuff like that. Okay, so this is this guy, not a bowl full of cherries life. Some of these things were long, right? Listen to what he writes. Here we go. For our momentary light distresses, this passing trouble. So again, everything that you're going through is just a moment of time. That's what he said, right? So my friend Joe, this happened like 10 years ago. That moment of time really lasted 2 months. It was hell. It was painful for that amount of time. And he would say, so for those 2 months, he had to put the brakes on and stop doing a whole bunch of things. And the doctor says, hey, listen, you need to recharge your body. And that means you need to stop doing this, and you need to take some supplements, and you need to rest, okay? And so that's what he was doing. He's recharging his body. But, okay, next part. For our momentary light distresses, these passing troubles, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparison, a transcending splendor, and endless blessedness. This is really what I want to read, verse 18. Okay, you with me? So we look not at the things which are seen. Okay. So he's saying, don't look at the things that are seen. All right? Now, here's the problem. Okay, for us, and we'll just pick on Joe. Okay? His body is in pain. This is going on. Okay? He's really having a hard time. And he could either look at the problem. He could look at how he felt, right? Like this is the longest day ever. This is not going away. This is terrible. Or the next part says, we just read it says, or it's temporary. Another part says fleeting. So Paul is saying, oh, it is just temporary. It's okay. You want to go, excuse me, Paul. This doesn't feel like temporary, all right? So that's what we kind of have going on. Such as, you might have a marriage that is in problems. Marriage on the rock, okay? And every day it's that. Or you might have a kid thing. Teenagers are wonderful. Okay? Where every day they're there. And it is still a problem, okay? So Paul is saying, hey, don't look at it. Don't look at the scene. But, you know, it's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. Okay? So is Paul saying, hey, just fake it till you make it? No, that's not what he's saying. Listen to this next part. So we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. So we don't look at the things that are seen, and then he tells you really what you're But you're going to look at the unseen. You know what the unseen is? If you're writing this down, the Word of God. The Word of God has the presence and the promises in there for you. So if you are not putting this Word of God, and it is not first place in your life, when troubles hits, the valley hits, the storms hit, it's going to knock you out. Right? So what do you do? What do you do when you have, you're in this valley, you're in this season, it feels like it's not ending. It, matter of fact, it got worse today, right? So what do? Well, this is what Joe did. He dug out every scripture on healing, which he already had. Okay, by the way, I did this yesterday. Hey, Google, find me all the scriptures in the Old Testament that have to do with healing. 16 of them popped up. Hey, Google, find me all the scriptures in the New Testament that have to do with healing. 22 of them popped up, so don't tell me you don't know where to get some scriptures. Okay? And don't call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, Pastor, you need some scriptures. Go talk to Google. Just thought I'd say that. So Joe then would pull out these scriptures, and he would read them his first thing in the morning. And someday, especially in the beginning, it took him a long time to read them because he was just not able to concentrate. But he would read them, and then he'd read them again, sometimes 3 times a day, and then you know, some people say, well, why are you reading those? You're sick. You know, what's that going to do? Well, listen, the only way for not thinking that I'm sick and it's going to stay like this forever is you better have the Word of God that is eternal and powerful and poof, all right, coming in you, coming in you, coming in you, coming in you, okay? Because God's Word, woo, it'll change, right? It'll change things. It is the thing that will change things, all right? So let's read verse 18 again. So we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporary. I like that, right? Just brief and fleeting, all right? So again, Joe, that thing happened 10 years ago, and I was talking to his wife probably about a year ago about this, and you know what he says now? He says, you know that thing that I had? It only lasted 2 months. Right now, it just feels like a sliver of time way back then, right? Now, in the middle of that, it was long, right? Okay, so, guys, so we're going to focus on what the Lord says. And I know, we are not in denial. I got this thing that's going on, right? But I'm telling you what, the priority of the Word of God will change that. Will change that. Amen. So Paul says it's temporary, just brief and fleeting. So the Greek says it is subject to change. Everybody say, it is subject to change. I don't know what you got going on in life, but say it again. It is subject to change. I don't know if it's physical, it's subject to change. I don't know if it's a job thing, it's subject to change. I don't know if it's your bank account, it's subject to change. I don't know if it's your mother-in-law, it's subject to change. Brad, amen. So, Eric, whatever's going on in my life is subject to change. Post-it note for the week. Write it down. Whatever is going on in your life is subject to change. Okay, then he says in verse 18, so the things that are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting, but the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Talk about the Word of God. Most bestest thing you'll ever have in your life, okay? But this Word of God, the Bible says, is never changes, is eternal, will not return void. The Word of God says, and the Scripture says, it's powerful, okay? And God will not fail His Word. So what's the most important priority in your life? That Word, all right? Google, I need scriptures about finances. You got it, okay? I got it too. Let's see, where should I go? Praise the Lord. All right. Back to Psalm 23, verse 4. Here we go. Psalm 23, verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what's the second thing that God wants to do? The great shepherd and his presence in your life, he wants to give you comfort. He wants to give you comfort. I'm going to come on a different angle on that, because usually we think he just wants to hold you in his arm, which he does. All right? But listen. So, and I said this before a couple weeks when we were preaching this, they said, I did not grow up with sheep in my backyard. We had squirrels and birds, didn't know anything about sheep, okay? But David wrote this, And he understood sheep, and he had sheep that he was overtaking or overcaring, all right? So he wrote, your rod and your staff comfort me. And I'm like, what? I don't get that. So they're going to pop some pictures up on the screen here. This is a rod. It says, relatively short, heavy, club-like device. So my friend Marty, who lived in a very rough side of town, had one of those in his back seat in high school. And one day I saw that, and I said, hey, Marty, he says, no, yes, Jesus. Okay? So that gave comfort, right? Okay, the next one, the staff. All right, staff was longer and thinner with a hook. And actually, somebody gave these to us. We use this in children's ministry all the time. Just love this, okay? So there it is. Oops, Pastor Dave's in the next area. All right, so that staff they would use for several things. One, they could use it as a walking stick. Okay. I probably wouldn't, because I'd probably chip over. So a walking stick, all right? And then if sheep fell into, like, slid over a little bank or a little cliff, they would take this and they'd hook it and bring it up, all right? So it was a walking stick, and it was used to help pull sheep out of danger, right? So David writes, and he says, that's comfort. I'm still trying to get it, but hang on there. He said, that's comfort to me. And also, it would be comfort to the sheep to know that you got a couple of those things gone. So David understood that. Now, I'm going to tell another story. So David was a shepherd, right? One day, he's out in the field. You all know the story of his house. He's out in the field, and his dad says, hey, your brothers are all out on the front line in this battle, and I want you to go give them some lunch and go find out what's going on. So David trucks out there, and he gets out there, and there's this giant, I was going to say big, but giants are big, huge man, giant, called Goliath. And Goliath comes out and he goes, I'm going to destroy all of you. It's my children's ministry, right? So he comes out a couple times a day and he's just barking this stuff. And everybody was afraid. The king was afraid. Everybody, the soldiers were afraid. Some of them are leaving town, right? I will destroy you. So David comes and he says, hey, what's going on? I will destroy you. And his brother goes, what are you doing here, you little kid? You're just a kid. What are you doing? You should be back home taking care of dad's sheep. And David's like, I'm going to go talk to the king. So he marches up to King Saul, and he says, hey, I can take care of this Goliath. Right? And King Saul's like, oh, was it your pizza last night that you think you could do that? Right? So the Bible says, now, by the way, David was not a tall person. And his description said he was just like Joe Normal and a runny face and all that stuff. But he goes up and he says to the king, hey, I can take care of that problem, that situation, that Goliath, that giant, okay? So read what happens. Open up to 1 Samuel. We're going to jump in right about there. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 17. So this is David talking to the king, and David, and the king's like, you can't do this, no way, right? And David persisted, and this is what he said. I have taken care of my father's what? Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking that we have the great shepherd, so we're really talking about, I take care of sheep. Ooh, I like that. Okay, keep reading. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, and when a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I run? No. Okay? When a lion or a bear comes to steal the flock, I go after them with the club that's in the back of Marty's Mustang that he had. No. He says, I go after them, and I lost my place. I go after with a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, then I take off and I run. No, I catch it by the jaw, and I club it to death. Okay. God is trying to paint a picture that he's the great shepherd, and that in his presence, in your life, that he wants to take care of you. Protector. Woo! Security. Woo! All right?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So, verse 36, it says, I have done this both with a lion and a bear, And I'm like, okay, so my dad was a fisherman. He shot things, he hooked things, he just did just all that stuff. But he'd come and tell a story about a fishing thing. I caught a fish that was this big. And then I'd hear him tell this next story that was this big and this big. So I'm reading this and I'm going, yeah, right. No. Listen to verse 36. He's not exaggerating. He says, I have done this both with lions and bears, and I'll do this to that pagan Philistine too, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. So what's David saying? Hey, listen, I've taken care of lions and bears, and I'll take care of this giant. So you know what God is saying to us? The same thing. The God who took care of David in the Old Testament will and is able to take care of you. Right? He is the great shepherd, and his presence in the middle of what you're going through that just has sent you to the floor and pulling your hair out and you think so, he will be there. He will be there. He will be there to protect you. He will be there to comfort you. That's who he is, right? So, you know, you all know the end of the story. David defeats Goliath, and he comes up with his sling and his stones. But you know what those slings and stones really represent? The word of God for us. It represents the word of God, right? The word of God that's coming out of our mouth. Now, there are times, like every day, that's what Jesus said, every day you need to have this word of God as a priority, as a routine. Yes, this is a good routine, okay, in your life. But then there's times that you have this word of God in your life, and it needs to be coming out of your mouth about this situation. Coming about out of your mouth and whatever is just this long, hard valley that you're going through. So you need to have it reading it constantly every day, okay? And then it needs to come out of your mouth. So I have a question. Okay, it's not a trick question, but pull your toes in. Here we go. So if the great shepherd wants to talk to you today, would you listen? Say it again, Pastor D. If the great shepherd, right, wants to talk to you today, would you listen? All right, here we go. Everybody say yes, yes. So, remember the staff, okay? It's a walking stick. It's also to help save the sheep, right? It also has another function, all right? If the sheep were going in the wrong direction, the shepherd would take this and gently tap them to get them to go in the right direction. That's what the shepherd do. I'm not going to mess with that anymore. gently tap them to move in a different direction, right? So here's the question. What if God's been tapping you to go in a different direction? Come on, this is the great shepherd. We know he loves us. He's faithful. He's just so wonderful. But what if he's to go in a different direction, okay? And maybe even in my message. What? Yeah, maybe in the message. God's tapping you to go in a different direction, okay? Because what if you're about to go off a cliff in your life and God sees it? Yeah. And he wants to tap you, right? He wants to tap you gently. Praise the Lord. What if he wants to talk to you about, the direction that you're going in, and by golly, he might even use the under shepherd. He might even use a church leader to come and say, hey, listen, I see this direction. I can hear it out of your mouth. I can see it. And God wants you to go in a different direction. Tap, 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 tap. Okay, what if? Okay. All right. So what if you're like, nobody tells me what to do. You're all a bunch of idiots. You don't know nothing. Right? Now, I get pride. I get it. Occasionally. Right? No, I understand that thing about pride, and I also understand that there are good churches that have just really been taking advantage of people and hurt people. I understand that, but I love that. But what if you have a pastor's heart? What if you have a leader's heart? What if you have a parent's as a heart who wants to tap you gently and say, "Listen, I see the direction you're going, and I want you, please go this way." Right? Okay. Now I have to say this. The shepherd only used that in dire emergencies, like they're all going to die, they're all going off the cliff. And when he saw that, sometimes it was a little harder, like, come on, move it, okay? But there was love there, all right? anybody, you know, this marriage, I'm trying to attack you. What's coming out of here now? Or there's a situation at work, and God's gone, I'm trying to tap you, tap, 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 that I think you need to change the attitude of your heart, tap, 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 so I can get involved here. Or, you know, I love it when the pastor said this, so mad at them, that pastor, who do they think they are? I'm including you in there, Sherry. Right? Who's better to share, right? I like, what's it, Bill Winston's expression, what is it? Don't shoot the message, I'm only the messenger. He says that so good. I'm only the messenger, so don't shoot me and get mad at me, right? Because maybe it's the Lord tapping, tap, 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 tap. Because He loves you, right? He loves you, right? So, again, okay, I'm not going to do that. Remember, though, we live in a natural realm. But God wants us, I'm up here, to live in the spirit realm, right? Live like that, right? And the thing about this natural realm is that we can be influenced, or the enemy will fly and give you a thought, okay? And if you take that thought, by the way, he's kind of an influencer if you're not smart, okay? He's going to give you this thought, and you're going to be in this natural realm, and it's going to, it's a lower level. It's not good. It's going to drag you into strife and division and hate and fighting. That's the natural realm. You got that going on? Yes. Everybody say, what is it? The natural realm, all right? But what if God wants you to come up here? Come up here. Come up into the way He sees things. What if He wants to do that? And He wants you to be loving and kind, all right? God loved people. God loved people so much. He loved you so much that He sent His Son. I love that. So, shoo! And you know what? He wants to love, He wants you to love people no matter if they look different, they act differently, they come from a different side of the track. It doesn't matter what they said, He wants you to love people. So what if right now God is tapping, 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 tapping in your life, in your heart? Okay? What if He's tapping and He's like, girl, that attitude, tap, 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 tap. You gotta do something with that. Okay? What if He's tapping you and He's trying to really protect you? What if He's tapping you and He's like, hey, listen, listen to your heart. We talked about God as a spirit, and He'll talk to your spirit. So what if He's tapping you, okay? What if He's tapping you and He's like, that boy that you're seeing, that good-looking thing, tap, 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 that's not for you. Yeah, but I'm living in the lower level, and it feels good. Tap, tap, tap. All right. Praise the Lord. What if the Lord's tapping you and saying, hey, I love you, and I know this is a recipe for disaster, as my good friend would say, right? So listen, anybody 17 or 18 years old, what do you know back then? Everything, right? And then there were these old people, you know, around me. My mom would tell me stuff, and I'm like, no, I didn't do that in front of her. Bam, okay? Because I knew everything. So here's the sad part. I've watched Christians do the same thing. Not us, somebody else, right? Christians do the same thing. And what does that pastor know? What does that church leader know? They don't know nothing. Here's the love of God trying to tap you through people, all right? Okay, they just want to help. Praise the Lord. All right. So this rod here is for comfort, and you will feel comfort when you know you're protected and He's taking care of you. Amen? Now, if I made you feel a little uncomfortable, I am not apologizing. Because the Lord wants to tap you, protect you, bring you to the good places. Right? You know what I found out about people? They don't like being tapped. Okay? They don't like being tapped. And you know what? And God's been dealing with their heart. Maybe not even for me. It's just God's tap, tap, tap. You know, I see people like that, they get rebellion, they get nasty and mean. Don't just look straight ahead, don't look at anything. People that God's been tapping, and then they know in their heart God's been tapping them, and they're just nasty and mean. So don't go bite my hand, all right? Remember, God is loving and gentle. Maybe your drill sergeant isn't, but God is loving and gentle. And just when He's tapping at your heart, you can't just say, okay, Lord, you're trying to protect me. Amen. All right, let's go back to Psalm 23, verse 5. And this will be our last point, number 3. Here we go. Yep, turn the page, Pastor. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay, so I have to say this. It's not for you and your enemies. He's preparing a table for you in the presence. They weren't invited, okay? So the table's for you, all right? And the enemy is whatever he's hitting you that's going on in your life. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, the presence of the Lord is preparing something for you so you can walk through it, okay? He's going to help you walk through it. So, by the way, this Word of God has got everything on the table that you're going to need. Everything. Everything that you need on the table is found in here, okay? And it's helped you in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, so everyone's got to really impress you. Here you go. This is what Greek scholars say about this section. Greek scholars say this: He will furnish me with plenty, with a variety of provision and comfort in front of my enemies. Oh, I like that. He's going to furnish me with plenty and a variety in front of my enemies, all right? And the Hebrew, the translation translates this way. It will not only be in the presence of your enemies, but your enemies are going to see it, they're going to envy it, they're going to fret over it, but they will not be able to hinder you from the best that God has for you. So in other words, God has this table for you. Okay? His presence, His promises. Praise God. To offer you security and comfort and everything you need. Amen. So, number 3, closing up, what will God do? This God who's the great shepherd in His presence, that He will sustain us. I was talking to Rachel about this. Sustain us, okay? You know, I look back at my life and I have had some valleys of the shadow of darkness, okay? I've had some really tough things. And I look back now and I see that God just sustained me in that. Now, I wasn't going to quit. That was my first thing. And He sustained me and brought me to it. And now it's this past, all right? So turn over to Matthew 7:11. Jesus is talking right now. Jesus is talking, all right, in Matthew 7:11. But the verse before, which I'm not going to read, it's where Jesus says, hey, whatever you need, ask, you know, go to the door and knock, okay? And then He says this, Matthew 11, if you then, who are evil, He's talking about natural, doesn't mean, not there's something evil and wicked, okay? No, if you then, who are natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Guys, you should be jumping out of your seat into a car with. This is amazing. This is a promise. This is a promise from God, not me. Okay? This is a promise from God. He says He'll give you those good things if you ask, right? So He will sustain you, give you good, whatever's going in with your life. Okay, now I think about the last couple of years, you know, this pandemic hit, and I have friends that died because of the COVID. Okay, then I have friends that ended up with the virus, and their bodies still have not recovered for some things that are just stuck on them, right? And then, there's this lady, a minister, she's the pastor's wife, her husband died, okay? And I talked to her, and they're going through some stuff. Anybody else going through some stuff, all right? So you know, we don't want to go, oh, too bad, just read the Word of God, speak it out of your mouth. No, okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're going to tell them, listen, God will sustain you while you're going through this. He promised it. That's one of His promises. So, Matthew 11:7, if you then, who are evil, and I'm not saying you're evil, just natural, okay? Again, you know, you can live down here, or you can step up here, and God's going to say, hey, listen, to the supernatural God, I'm going to sustain you, right? So if you then, who are evil or natural, know how to give good gifts to your children. Raise your hand if you're a parent or grandparent. Don't you just love to give them good gifts? Man, all right, that's what we do. Well, I had parts of my kids that I could just, listen, we got a good God. He loves to give good. He's a good good guy, right? So so if you then, who are evil or natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is heaven, give good gifts to those who ask? Everybody say ask.
Yes.
I don't know what you got going on in your life, but how about you ask God? Those are directions right there, lady. Okay? Just ask. Right? So maybe you need healing. Maybe you've got this situation with a relationship. Ask God for help. Whatever it is, okay, just go trust. What's going on in your life that you might need some help? Just go ask God. Ask God. Lord, I know that you're a good God. You only give gifts. Lord, I'm asking for help in this situation. Lord, I have tried to be a fixer. I have tried to solve the problem, and it looks worse. Lord, I've tried, but right now I'm asking help. Because you said you would sustain me, you would get me through this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, how about we pray? Just close your eyes. Back down my worship team, come on. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we didn't take it as common. We see it as powerful. We see the answers. We see your love. Lord, if you are trying to gently tap us to go in a different direction, to change something, Lord, we say, I'm willing. I will take that tap, to go into the good direction. You're good, good, not bad. You know you have a good place for you. If you're here and you need help, send to ask. And you would give. The good, good Father would give. So everybody just really quiet. Just say, Lord, I have this, and I do not see an answer. I don't even know an answer. I'm not smart. Lord, I'm in a hard place, a hurtful place. I'm asking you for your help to sustain me and bring me through. And you, one I trust. You are faithful. Your word does not change. Your love doesn't change. You are the great shepherd. In your presence, I welcome you into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All your songs were like, oh, it's in the message. So, you guys do. I don't know. Let me stand. We're just singing, then I'm going to just. Thank you. Just continue to talk to him. If you don't want to sing, just talk to the Lord.